Okay, we're up to page 178. Let's start from Pasuk Vav. Let us start from Pasuk Vav. We spent a lot of time going through all the different ideas with Yaakov and Esav. Now let's move forward. Pasuk Vav, Yashem, 178. Perek Yudbeis, Pasuk Vav, Yashem, Elokei HaTzvakos, Hashem Zichroi. Now, what is this Pasuk of you coming? What is the message over here of this Pasuk here? Let's see the Mitzudos. In the context of this Pasuk, in the Tzudos on page 179, Vashem Ritzon Leimar, Haloi Hashem Elokim al Tzivois Malo Mata V'Yakol Shaloi V'Yaday. Is it not so? Is it not? I guess he's learning this, a continuation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's complaint. Hashem is complaining, why have you been so unfaithful? Why have you betrayed Hashem when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is the master. He has full control. He can give you reward. He can give you punishment. Hashem is the God over the hosts of above and below. Everything belongs to Hashem. Hashem Zichroi. Shemohu Hashem. Hamoireshu Adon Akol. His name is Hashem. Okay, so Yudke Vavke is the name which encompasses everything. Yudke Vavke, that's the name, as we always like to say. Yudke Vavke really means, the most literal translation means, it's timeless. Hashem is, that's really, how do you translate the word Yudke Vavke? Everyone is afraid to translate it. In the art scroll, when English is a real fancy word, tetragrammaton. Is that how you pronounce it?
Tetra means four.
Yeah. Right, tetragrammaton, that's the English translation, so they're afraid to translate. They just say it's the four-letter name. Art scroll will not translate it. They just say, what do they say in art scroll? They just say Hashem.
Hashem,
you will not translate it. No one wants to touch it. No one wants to touch Yudke Vavke. What does Yudke Vavke really mean? It means timeless.
Classically, it was translated as the Lord or something like that.
Elokim is more of a...
No, Lord our God.
The Lord, Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, the Lord, Elokeinu our God. Okay, it's something which everyone has stayed away from. No one wants to go near it. Even the Goyim don't want to go near it. To really find a good translation, you can tetragrammaton. I mean, what does grammaton mean?
The Lord, a name.
Tetra is four and grammaton. Grammaton, I think it's a...
Gramma is a word or gramma. In this case, it means a four-letter name.
Four-letter name. That's a cop-out.
If it's a name, why does it have to be
Well, the Greeks couldn't translate it either, so...
What?
If it's a name, why does it have to be translated?
Because a name captures the essence. And if we have Hashem, if in the Torah Hashem's name is Yitzhak Vavke, then there's a message there. There's something there. There's a dimension of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem is infinite. We cannot relate.
That's unknowable, maybe.
So Yudke Vavke, Chazal tell us, is a combination of three words. Hoya, Hove, V'yiyeh. In fact, it's Aramaic. Hoya, Hove, V'yiyeh is not, it's not even Hebrew. Hove is Aramaic. Hoya, Hove, V'yiyeh. It's the combination. If you take those three words, Hoya, Hove, V'yiyeh, the common letters of Hoya, Hove, V'yiyeh spell Yudke Vavke. So what does Yudke Vavke really mean? That Hashem is timeless. It's timeless. That's really the best translation for Yudke Vavke. Hashem is not bound to time, not before, not after. Now, therefore, when you speak about that, it means Hashem is everything. In a sense, if Hashem sees the past, the present, and the future all together, that is said that man is totally no connection to. Man recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is way above and beyond. He sees it all. He sees it all. Hashem Zichro Shemohu, Mitzvah says Shemohu Hashem Amoreshu Adoin Hakol. He seems to translate the word. Okay, Hashem is the master. We all know that the way we pronounce it is not the way we spell it. We spell it Yudke Vavke, but the pronunciation is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, okay. So again, it's an interesting idea. So Zichri means the pronunciation.
Right.
Zeshmi is, like, you know, it's interesting. The Daf Yomi yesterday was Yesh Eim Lemikra, Yesh Eim Lemesoris. And then there's Machlaikis, there are three opinions in the Gemara. So that's very relative to today's Daf, today's Ishruchag. The Gemara has this discussion regarding the corners of the Mizbeach. Ishruchag Ba'avoisim. At Karnois HaMizbeach. And when it comes to the Karnois HaMizbeach, the Gemara dwells, it says in the Pasuk, the Gemara's tradition is not our tradition. The Gemara's tradition is that the word Karnas Karnois. The problem is in our Sefer Torah, it's Karnas, Karnas, Karnas. All three times we're missing a Vav. The Gemara, for some reason, assumes that in our Sefer Torah, one time there is a Vav. Anyway, the Gemara there, it's a very fascinating Gemara because you don't have this often. The Gemara darshes it three ways. Either Yeshem Lemikra, Yeshem Lemisores, or the combination of them both. Mikra means the pronunciation, Lemisores is the spelling, or do you combine them both? I like to brag, you know, everything's about me. Then in my family, we have all three. My great grandfather, his name was, the pronunciation in Poland is Levine. But in Poland, the way they spell Levine is L-E-W-I-N. So the pronunciation is Levine, but the spelling is L-E-W-I-N. So my great grandfather did not survive the war. He was murdered. But his three sons did survive. They came to America, his three sons, and as they never got along. I mean, they always would argue, especially two of them, especially my grandfather and Isaac Lewin. He was a very big person in the Aguda. Yeah. Isaac Lewin. I don't think they ever agreed on anything in their entire life, even the last days. I mean, when my grandfather was very sick, he came to visit in the hospital, and they were arguing there as well. They spoke to each other literally every day of their life, and they literally every day of their life had an argument about something. And what was one of the first arguments in America is, how do we carry on our name? It was pronounced in Poland, Levine. So, but that would require us to change the spelling. So my grandfather felt the main thing is the mikra, the pronunciation. So we changed the spelling from L-E-W-I-N to L-E-V-I-N-E. My grandfather's brother says, no, you have to preserve Yeshem L'Mesores, the spelling. So that's why he was known as Lewin. His son, the famous Nat Lewin, is his son, Lewin. And then the third brother, he was a twin to my grandfather. His name was Shmuel David. He went to Eretz Yisrael right away. He couldn't make up his mind. So they had in the phone book two listings, Shmuel David Levine and Shmuel David Lewin. L-E-W-I-N in Hebrew? I don't know. But Lewin, but in English he had both. He was listed in the English listings, he was listed with both Lewin and Levine. Yeah, Yeshem Lemikra, Yeshem Lemisores. What?
You have a lot of names like that.
Yeah. All the W for everyone, the W's. They throw the U, they throw you. So
well, it's spelled with a V's, but in English they put the F because the V in Europe is pronounced as an F, like a Volkswagen. So it's Mayevsky, but it's Mayevsky.
With a base.
So the Rebbeim used to call me Mayevsky because they knew the name, but in one of my aunts made the spelling with the F.
With the F, very interesting.
The same by our family. In Cyrillic, this is a H. Like here is an X.
Yeah.
That's a H.
A Ch.
Yeah, H. So now, how you spell? In Hebrew, it's a chofa. And then the ends with an I.
Yeah.
So depends on how I music translated that with Y.
The Y.
H and then Michli in the end Y. For half of my brothers, two brothers, as they translated with an I.
With an I at the end.
Right. Like Italian. Whatever, I don't know. It sounds the same, but it was and the ones which went to Israel,
yeah.
My cousins, they were translated like in Germany, C-H.
C-H, Ch. Ch.
So now...
Everyone has a different listing in the phone book.
Family is different.
Because of the Yeshem.
And in Hebrew also, somebody put in a Chof, and somebody put in a Kof.
In a Kof, Okay, it's so very interesting. Names, yeah, there's a lot to be said about how names... evolved. But hereby, the first one that has this issue is the Ribbono Shel Olam. It all comes back. It's all rooted in the Ribbono Shel Olam because Hashem is also Yeshem Lemikra, Yeshem Lemisores. Hashem's name is Vashem Elokei Tzvakos. There is Vashem Yudke Vavke. He is Elokei Tzvakos. And then we say Hashem Zichroi. Over here, you have, in this pasuk itself, you have an allusion Hashem Shemo. Zeh Shmi Le'olam, Zeh Zichri Le'dar Dar. this pasuk vav parallels what it says in Kisisa, well not Kisisa, in Shemos, right? Shemos, in Shemos, Hashem zesh shemi, for Hashem Elokei Tzivakos. What is the meaning of Hashem? What's Hashem Shemo, his name? He is, as the Mitzvah says, the Adoin HaKoil, the master of everything. That's Hashem's true name. But the Lord, okay, the Lord, okay, fine. Master of everything. And but yet Hashem Zichroi, but don't pronounce Hashem Yudke Vavke. Don't pronounce it in that manner, Yudke Vavke. You have to figure out how you would pronounce it. There is a pronunciation to say Yudke Vavke the way it's spelled.
The English Bibles, a lot of them, they have the J. They spell it out with the J. That's like the Witnesses, right?
So how do they spell it out?
That's not a translation. J-E-D. That's a transliteration.
Right.
A transliteration of Yudke Vavke. Right. But the pasuk concludes Hashem Zichro, even though this may indeed be his essence. Hashem is the Adoin HaKol, but the way we pronounce his name is Master. Master. What?
I thought we really do not know how to pronounce it.
No, I think Yud Kei Vav Kei, I think we do. We don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. I think Yud Kei Vav Kei.
The Shem HaMeforesh we don't know.
I thought that's Shem HaMeforesh.
No. 42 letters. That's
72 letters. There are 42. There are 72.
We don't know. Many
different shemites. But here we have Hashem Zichro Yudke Vavke. We pronounce Hashem Zichro as Master. Master. So what then? It's a very interesting idea. We'll just dwell upon this. What over here is then the difference between Master, Adnos, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Okay, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud really basically means, I think if I'm not mistaken, means he's my master. Hashem Yudke Vavke, who is, as the Pasuk here tells, Elokei Tzivakos, since he is the Lord, the master of the entire world. So the essence is, Hashem is Zeh Shemi Le'olam, V'Zeh Zichri Le'dar Dar. The truth is, Hashem is the master over the entire world. But what? Of the universe. But a human being, we're not demanding from a human being for him to recognize such vast greatness. Just focus on one thing. Hashem is your master. Okay? Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Okay, I'm not going to pronounce it, it's Hashem's holy name, but it ends with a Yud, which means he's my master.
Right.
Literally, he's my master. So what then is the difference between Yudke Vavke? Well, over here, the Mitzudas tells us, and the Pasuk really says, the essence is Elokei Tzivakos. Lamala, Lamata, Hashem is infinite. But a human being doesn't need to dwell upon that. It's true, you have to recognize, what's your tafkid? Your tafkid is, just know that he's your master. If you know, sometimes you get big caught up in the big picture of things, you lose. Guess what? He's also, besides that Hashem is God over the universe, he's also my God. That is the thing that is critical for us to recognize. Hashem demands Zeh Shemi, that's right. Hashem is Tzivakos, Lamal Lamata, Adoin, but Zeh Zichri. Remember, he's your God also. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud.
Sarai and Sarah is. She was my boss only. Now when God changed the name to Sarah, she became everybody's boss.
Everyone's boss, at least. It made it easier.
That's exactly what he said.
Hashem made it easy, saying, you say, well, because of a joke, Hashem made it easy for Avram. If she's only my boss, drive me crazy the whole day. But now that you're, it's an abstract concept. So you don't have to dwell. Makes it easier, right? Makes it easier.
I think to finish it the other way. The fact that the Abish is so great and so over everything, even over me.
Even over you, right.
Even concerned about me. Even when I do this thing.
Hashkocha Pratis.
Right, yes.
Don't get lost.
That's a better way to look at it.
Don't get lost to the Hashkocha Pratis that don't think Hashem is not involved in the nitty gritty. The little things as well, he's my master. Okay, there are many different ways to spin it, different ways to do it, but yeah, at least we appreciate the difference between the two different shemos. Yudke Vavke represents the infinite control over the world, over the universe, Lord. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud means me, he's my master. And the two have to come together. We look at it in one way. When you look at the spelling, you recognize by the re'iyah what the Ribbono Shel Olam is, but the pronunciation, what comes out of your dibur, your life. Dibur always represents your existence. Vayipach be'ap of nishmas chayim, your tafkid in this world is not for the whole world, or for the whole universe. Your tafkid in this world is just one thing. Make sure that you recognize Hashem is your master. You have to separate the re'iyah from the dibur. V'chol ha'am royim es ha'koilos. There's re'iyah, there is amira. You look at yudkei vavkei one way and you say it another way. There's a recognition of the universe, but there's a dibur recognition, a kabbalah o malchus. He is mine. Okay, let's see the Rashi. Rashi pasuk vav v'Hashem Elokei tzevokas Hashem zichroi kasher ha'yisi me'oz kein ani ata. Rashi appears to be focusing more on the what we started with today is Yudkei Vavkei represents Hoya Hoyve V'yiye. Nothing changes in time. Do not make a mistake and think that things are going to change as time passes. No. The same way Kasher Yisi Oz Me'oz Kein Ani Aniyata V'im He'yisem Holchem Imi B'tzmimus Ki Yakev Avichem. If you would only go and have faith in me with sincerity, with wholesomeness, like Yaakov, your forefather, that's the pasuk going back, that's what's the vav, v'Hashem, or going back to the previous psukim of v'yosar, es malach, v'yuchol, bochol, v'yishanon lo, be'eskel, yimtzein, v'shom yidar b'imanu. We mentioned previous psukim, mentioned Yaakov and Esav. If only you will continue to follow with the wholesomeness, like Yaakov, v'inu ha'yisi noig imochem, kasher nohakti mo, I will be with you the same way I was with him. So Rashi, obviously, Hashem Zichro, how does that fit into the word Zichro? It means, I don't have a good grasp, but this is his parish. Surely, Yudkei Vavkei, the focus is Hoya Hoveviya. Hashem does not change. Hashem Zichro, and if we only will remember, seemingly he seems to say that we will remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu was faithful to Yaakov, to reciprocate the faith that Yaakov had in Hashem, likewise we could expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be good to us, to be faithful to us. Let's take a look at the Radak. Radak Pasik Vav, V'Hashem Elchei Tzvokos, Afapi Shenigla Le'avichem Bekel Shakai. He's now coming to focus on Yudkei Vavkei, the contrast between Moshe and the Avos. Hashem complained to Moshe, Moshe, you're making too many demands upon me. Your forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they did not know from Yudkei Vavkei. There Rashi says Yudkei Vavkei represents Emes. Emes is not, Emes really is consistent with the concept of Hoya, Hove, V'yeh. Hoya, Hove, V'yeh, past, present, future, nothing changes. There's no greater Emes than that. Emes really represents consistency. And that's why the letters Emes in the Aleph Beis is the first letter, the middle letter, and the last letter. Rashi in Parashas Vayeras says the word Emes, the word Yudkei Vavkei, the Yudkei Vavkei captures the concept of truth. Mida amite shali. I promise, I fulfill. I'm true to my word. That really is Hoya Hove V'yeh. It's all, time is all the same. And the Avos did not have this appreciation. I never revealed myself to the Avos with this idea of Yudkei Vavkei. I appeared to them with the words Bekel Shakai, Leimolo Ani Kel Shakai Perei Urvei, Oid Chidesh Shemo. I told them Perei Urvei, you shall multiply. Okay, multiply. Oid Chidesh Shemo Hanichbol Moshe. He revealed the new name to Moshe. V'akol Ba'avurchem. L'chadesh by also sumovsim loyitziachem me'avdus l'cheirutz v'chu yudkei vavkei v'chu elokei tzevokos malo. Now what does that mean? Hashem is the God of the hosts above. Sheheim hamalochim v'hagal galim im koichvehem, the angels. And the galgalim represents the mazolas, all of the bodily, all of the items in heaven, with the stars, v'shem kel v'elokim hu mishtatef imohem. Hashem uses the shem kel elokim, avo b'zeh Hashem einoy mishtatef im zulosai. He's saying something very new to us, and that is in heaven Hashem is not known by the name Yudkei Vavkei. In heaven Hashem is known by the name of Kel and Elokim. In this world Hashem is known as Elokim, v'atem, Im tasu es ritzaynoi hu yiyeh lochem lelokim kemo shehu kel elokei hatzvakais. It therefore is saying that if we're going to be good, Hashem will use for us also the word kel and elokim. So that's why it's elokei tzvakais. In the tzvakais, which means in the heavens, the malachim, there Hashem is known as elokei, which is kel and Elohim. Okay, the word Elohim captures really both. The only thing that we're missing is the mem. We're missing the mem, but the word Elohim has Aleph Lamed Kel, has also Elohim. Okay, these, obviously this is very mystical, very esoteric. These ideas of Shemos, never was my big thing to know Shemos, but in Shemayim, it's a different Shem, yeah.
I'm just thinking, when we say the Kel Adon, it's all about a Kodesh Baruch Hu,
over the very good. Over,
yeah,
very
the Kel, there says Kel. There Kel begins, Adon.
Kel Adon al kol ha-masim, there refers to what's taking place in Shemayim.
Yes.
Very good. We sing that by Kiddush Levana. We talk about the Levana and the Shemayim. There the focus is Kel. In heaven, Hashem is known by the name Kel. And the Avos knew Hashem by Shakai. We, post Moshe, merited to know Hashem with the name Yudke Vavke. Next.
Some was
Yud. Oh, right. So that's just a convention.
Accident.
So why do they do that? It's a literature. The art school, that's one of the big things. Art school changed. That's a very big chiddush of art school. There must be a story. There's no doubt in my mind there's a story behind it. Why did the art school, they really changed tradition. They always brag that they're part of the Messiah. And when they published their Siddur, they changed from the two Yuds, which represent Hashem, to Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why?
There was a Siddur before.
They were? Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. The Shiloh Siddur used to have two Yuds because they didn't want the kids saying the name.
It's not just the Shiloh Siddur. It's a lot of the old.
No, the old is, but that was the reason. That was what it was explained to me when I was a kid. My father told me that they didn't want you to say it by accident.
Right, but
that's good reason. People would pronounce it.
It was tradition.
But they omit the vowels.
They omit the vowels, fine, okay, but there's something to it. It's not for nothing that in the oldest Sidurim, it's not just the Shiloh, it goes way, way back, there are two Yuds. And I don't remember now, there are explanations that are given, some are better than others, why there are two Yuds. I think some say because it represents, this is what sticks in my mind. There are two, Zeh Shmi Le'olam V'Zeh Zichri. So what's the Shmi? Yud ke vav ke. It starts with a yud. V'zeh zichri. How do you pronounce it? Aleph dalid nun yud. So it starts with the yud and ends with the yud. Zeh shemi li olam.
V'zeh
halem. Conceal it. Li olam. Conceal it. Conceal my name. So yud ke vav ke. It starts with the letter yud. But zeh zichri. The pronunciation is aleph dalid nun yud. The last letter is Yud. So therefore, to capture the entire pasuk of what Hashem's name is, Yud Kei Vav Kei, for the pronunciation should be Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, we have two Yuds. Okay, that I remember as being the most satisfying answer.
So you are familiar with the Old Shem,
as you want to say before? I don't know that. So that's why the two Yuds. Other people like to say is the two Yuds are two Yidden. Two Jews. I don't remember all the situation. There's two Yidden, and what does that all apply? That when this Achdus between two Yidden, then there is Hashem is there. It's to remind us that the Tzvei Yidden.
See, that's what he showed me as far as the Siddur that they wrote. They have.
Oh, they have it. Okay.
They have what they brought, whatever that
Yud
is.
Yud K, yeah, they have something different.
This over here, Yud Aleph, Dalet, whatever it is.
I know, this is very esoteric. Yeah. Right. You ever see the sort of the Rashash? Okay, the Rashash, this is like way out stuff. Shema, all these different things. They love that they have interesting
different suit. Colors.
Different colors, Kavanis. You have to see the psychiatrist after you use that sort of. I don't know who can keep their mind together after going through the davening with that sitter and having kavana. Okay, so this is that's an interesting idea. This whole idea of it. It's interesting that this pasuk vav really parallels what it says. But it says in parashas Vayera, in parashas Shemos, Shemos, it elaborates. It's instead of Shemo, the Shemo is located Tzatzavakos. And everyone here on the page is struggling. What exactly are we doing over here? The Mitzudos is very, very simple. Rashi is telling us he's going off a whole new pshat. He's talking about the past. Kasher Hayisi Oz Kain, I'll be now, in the present. And also he alludes to the future, we'll be in the future. That's Hoy Hovivive. The Radak tells about Emes. He's talking about Emes, he's contrasting this with Shakai, what goes on in Shemai Melokei. All these different interpretations. Okay, next words of the Radak, Hashem Zichroi Kemosh Amar Vazeh Shmi Li'olam. Okay, here's what he quoted many times. Zeh Shmi Li'olam Vazeh Zichri L'Dardar V'Aladerech Hazeh Tirgim Yonason Nevi'a Emor L'Hoin Hu Hashem Elokei Tzavokos. The prophets said to the people that Hashem, He is Hashem Elokei Tzavokos, this Galil al Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov V'Chumod Amir al Yidei Moshe, Hashem Docherno L'Chol Dor V'Dor. This is the way we remember Hashem, we refer to Hashem in every generation. I'm not sure the depth of what the Targum says here, but we'll leave it with that. Let's look at the Malbum. The Malbum, Pasuk Vav, Hashem Elokei Tzavokos, V'Alzeh Meishem L'Chama Novi, Haloi Ibnei Yisrael Ein Mekam Hashba Asam, Min HaMalach V'Sar, Rak He Mekablim Hashba Asam, Me'Hashem, B'Bilti Em Tzoi. Over here, the Navi is giving Musar, part of the Musar, that Hashem is so good to you. We're listing here a long list. According to the Malbim, all the Pesukim we've learned until now are all a long list of chasodim that Hashem has done with Klal Yisrael. And here we add to the list that Hashem himself takes care of us. He does not give us over to mazolos, to malachim, to any intermediary. Hashem is directly involved with us, and therefore the pasuk should be read, even though the truth is Hashem Elokei Tzavokos. Hashem is the Elokei Tzavokos, he's the God of the Tzavokos, and he allows the Tzavokos to be the intermediary to guide the world, but not for us. For Klal Yisrael, it's Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem Zichra. These all say these words in the power of another.
We know that all the nations have a
Mazel, a Sar.
No, an angelic advocate.
But Klal Yisrael,
Hashem handles us himself.
Directly. It's exactly how he learns of Hashem, who allocates Tzavokos, who are Moshel al Tzavokos, HaMalach. Hashem Zichro. But by Hashem, it's direct. There is no intermediary. Who Nizkar Etzlein B'Shem Havaya, Loi B'Shem Tzavokos, Malach V'Sar, V'imkein Loma Tiftuchu Al Malach V'Sar, Misore HaMarochos, Aloi. Why then, therefore, this all comes back to the same thing. Kodesh Baruch Hu has a complaint. Why then have you not had proper faith in me? Now let's just look over here at my favorite parish over here, the Chidah. The Chidah here, Pasuk Vav, on page 179, it's a short one. V'Hashem Elokei Tzavokos, Hashem Zichro, Efsha, Ramas, Dil'osu Lavoi, Yiyeh Nikre Hashem Kichsavoi Kivyachol. Okay, so this is that the Mashiach will come, the Moshe Mashiach will pronounce it, no longer Adnos, pronounce it the real way, V'zehu She'omar, Hashem Zichro, Ki Atoksiv. He's learning a whole new interpretation. This pasuk is in contrast to what it says in Shemos. It's not the same. It's not a parallel. Until now, I've been trying to show you, is this a parallel? It's just this elaborates a bit more. He learns, no, this pasuk is keneged. It is keneged what it says in Parasha Shemos. In Parasha Shemos, it says, Hazesh Shemi Le'olam. Yudke Vavke, that's the real name. But in the meantime, I'm giving you in the meantime a new way to pronounce my name, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Yeah?
No, that's the drasha.
Conceal it in the meantime.
Now, right.
Conceal it.
Say it, but in the future.
Right now, conceal it. And therefore, as a substitute, v'zeh, I'm giving you a substitute. This is how you're going to pronounce it, Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Chidah says, this pasuk says, no. There's no word lo'olam, ha'alein. There's no word zeh in this pasuk. This pasuk is referring to the time when, Ein Chinami, v'Hashem Elokei HaTzavakos, Yud Kei Vav Kei is the Lord, Hashem Zichro. And that's right. You're now, from here on in, going to pronounce my name the way it's spelled. Yud Ke Vav Ke. No more Ha'aleim, no more concealment, no more Vezeh Zichri, a new way to pronounce it. From here on in, we're now going to change the pronunciation of Yud Ke Vav Ke. Vezeh Shama Hashem Zichro Hu Akiato Aksiv Zeh Shemi Li'olam Vezeh Zichri. That was in the past. Shem Adnos. No, this, that, Hashem, that's indeed how we're going to pronounce it. So we have over here quite a number of ideas in the Mefarshim over here about the Shem Hashem, Yudke Vovke, Shakai, Kel, Elohim, and the Tzvokos, and the Moshe, and the Ovois, the Malachim, and the past and the future, Hoyehoviria. You really get a nice treatment, a really good, nice source material. If you want to give a shear on the Shem Hashem. Okay, I don't know if it's going to go off well. Having a title, have a shiur on the Shem Hashem, but you have over here quite a bit of source material to really complements what it says in Parashat Shemot. Next pasuk Zayin. V'ata and you, be'lokecha soshuv. Here is a demand that we do teshuvah. Chesed u'mishpat shemor, you shall guard kindness and mishpat, you shall guard. V'kaveh el elokecha tamid, you shall yearn. Kaveh is not really a Hebrew word. Kaveh, as far as I remember being taught, is kaveh is lishu'oscha kivisi Hashem l'saboris. How does it translate? Okay. Lishu'oscha kivisi, maybe it is kaveh. Kaveh, I'll take it back. Let's see what the Mefarshim said. I don't remember exactly, but Kaveh means to yearn for Hashem. There are three instructions. There are three instructions being presented here in this one pasuk. Number one is to do teshuvah, soshuv. Number two is to do acts, to guard acts of kindness and mishpat. And number three is the command to yearn for Hashem. Three very different things. Saboris.
Yeah.
Lefur konach saboris. That's the Aramaic. Saboris means to hope. To hope is the translation for the word kaveh, kivisi. Okay, so the word kaveh appears indeed to be the Hebrew word. We have to see more about that. But we have three instructions here. Notice the three parallel, the past, the present, and the future. When the Navi is telling Klal Yisrael to repent, to do teshuvah, what in essence are you doing when you do teshuvah? You are rectifying the past. There are sins in the past. When one does teshuvah, his averos nase kizuchuyos. Right? The averos of the past become a merit. By using the averos in the past and recognizing that they were wrong, they were incorrect, and you improve, it's now a merit. Then it says the present. The present is chesed and mishpat. And then what does it say about the future? The future is kaveh, yearn. Yearn that in the future things will be good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to our aid. So this pasuk is the past, the present, the future. We have to get Jamin Yam. What's his name again? I forgot his name. What's his first name? How can I forget?
Nachum Siegel.
Okay, his famous sign-off call. Okay, so we have the past, the present, the future. The past is tshuva. The present is to do chesed, and the mission of the future is to yearn for Hashem. It fits very nicely if you want to go back, like Rashi said, the Pasuk Vav, where Rashi focuses that Yud Kei Vav Kei means Hoya Hove V'yeh. It's the synthesis of the past, present, and the future. The way we can connect to Hashem in the past, present, future is by rectifying the past, in the present doing chesed and mishpat, and in regard to the future, yearning for Hashem, for His presence, an intensified presence in the future. Notice the only thing where it says tamid, the kavei el lokecha, and then it says the word tamid. That's interesting. You don't need to say that. All it has to say is the kavei el lokecha. What's tamid? Why does it say the word tamid? Is the word tamid going back in all three? Or is Tamid going only on the future? Only in the future? We have the Ramah. How does the Ramah begin Shulchan Aruch? Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. How does he conclude Shulchan Aruch? Mishteh Tamid. How can I think of the pasuk? Mishteh The last words are Mishte Tamid, a heart of Simcha. I don't remember the exact words of the pasuk, but the Rama also, he ends off Shulchan Aruch with the word Tamid. A person always should be in a state of happiness. Mm-hmm. That means state of happiness. The word is Tamid. The Shnei Tamidin. There's the Tamid Shal Shachar and the Tamid Shal Bein Harbayim. The ends off with Tamid. There's something to be said about Tamid. And here we have in this pasuk, Kaveh V'Kaveh Elokecha Tamid. Let's see the depth of this pasuk in the Mefarsh. First, in the Tzudos, pasuk Zayin, V'Ata. Here the Navi is speaking to Klal Yisrael, the collective noun. You, Gam Ata B'Mishenes Elokecha Teishev B'Shuva V'Nachas. You shall sit. Teishev is to sit B'Mishenes, in the support of the Ribbon Shel Olam. B'Shuva V'Nachas. So he learns here, not like what I told you. Okay, I told you means Teshuva. We'll see other commentators say that. He learns here means to sit, and it means you shall dwell in this world in a state of serenity. Okay, so the word Soshuv means doesn't have shave, sit. You shall sit in this world relying upon Hashem. When you know that Hashem is looking after you, there's nothing to worry about. You can sit back and relax. You will live in this world with the support of Hashem. Beshuva va vinacha. Shuva means, it's a synonym for, I guess, serenity and peacefulness. Rak, just make sure you behave yourself. Shemor chesed u'mishpat v'oz, guard kindness and justice. The oz, and then kaveh tamid elokecha ki batuach tiyah shiyamalei tikvavascha. You can be certain Hashem will fulfill your requests, your hope, if only you will guard kindness and justice. Let's see Rashi pasuk Zayin. Okay, v'yatua b'lokecha soshuv b'haftachosoy uve mish antoy shu mavtichacho ato yochel lismech v'soshuv elav. This parallel, so we just learned in the Mitzudos, is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that He will be good to you, you can rely upon that. And therefore, yochel lismech, you can rely v'soshuv elav. And you can, now it's a little bit different than how the Mitzudos says, because he says the word Soshu means to shave, to sit, and you can return to him. Being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised that he will support you, he will be at you, come to your aid, you can rely upon that, and you can return to him. It would seem that this is an idea of doing Teshuvah. Rak, but make sure, Chesed u'mishpat shemar, u'muftach ato l'kavois, and therefore you can be guaranteed L'kavois, to yearn li yishoy, for his salvation tamid. Let's see Radak pasuk Zayin v'ato atosh ato zer Yaakov Yisrael im tirtze belokecho soshuv kolma tonuach. He learns you will rest k'mo yibeshuva v'nachas tivo sheun, like the Mitzudos. Chesed u'mishpat shemar b'tnai zetuchal l'nuach. You can be guaranteed to live a life of tranquility, serenity, provided, and you're not going to be afraid of the enemy. Provided you do yours. Ki midois of heim, ki mosh omar, ki ani Hashem oise chesed u'mishpat, u'tzdaka b'oritz, ki ve'il l'chafatsi l'mashem, v'yaf b'shlo hiska, hi'eino tzedaka. It does not say tzedaka. What about tzedaka? It says only chesed u'mishpat. Hine omar b'mokam achar, shimu mishpat v'asu tzedaka. V'amar heina v'kavi elokech tamid v'ruchu tzedaka v'yoyisher shetekavi tamid l'Hashem ki v'av ki tiyah l'chotay v'gadol v'oshin l'chosim toymar ki b'ituhu akol tizkudeil tamid v'sakavi l'kumo shama v'toyra v'zachar shem lokech b'yonis l'chokech l'schol v'lok yafai v'shama ach ha-sharti matzasi avlikei. We're driving very quickly. We have to yearn for Hashem, even though we have parnasa. Don't forget that it is Hashem who is the provider. If you're going to forget, Vayishman, Yeshurun, Vayivat, we know what happens. It's all downhill. Okay, the next words are V'yesh Lufaresh Beis Beilokecha Soshuv B'makom Lamit. So therefore, he learns V'yeh Soshuv Inyin Teshuva. Okay, so he's now giving a new interpretation. This is what Rashi really said, and that's how we started when we started to translate the pasuk. It refers to the concept of doing teshuvah. V'chamohu, v'shilach es hasor b'midbar, k'mo limidbar, and how then do you learn shan pasik? The way the pasik makes it fits better is put a lamed. Exchange the bays with a lamed. The atah, you the Jewish people, lay loikecha soshuv, towards your God, shall you repent? Shall you return? That's the reason why the other Mepharshim did not want to learn to explain the word soshuv means repentance. The difficulty in translating the word toshuv as repentance is because the base of Beilokecha does not fit. V'yata, you, in your God, repent. It doesn't make sense. That is why the Mitzvos says it means you live a life of soshuv, of tranquility, with the awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has got your back, is watching over you. That is the ideal interpretation when we preserve the integrity of the letter base. But once we start manipulating, we want to say the word toshuv means to repent, we have no choice but to substitute pretty much, or to very loosely translate the base as if it's a lamed. And then it means you shall lelokecha, towards your God you shall repent. Okay, that's, and he says that this is really the only one that really brings out the difference between what's bothering Rashi and the Mitzudos in their choice of interpretation is the Radak. And the Radak opens up this whole inyan for us by explaining the problem here is this very innocent letter beis. That is the issue which changed the interpretation.
I think it's highlighted by the fact that what the last parable of Hosea, Shuva
Yisrael. It's a lead-in.
So he's leading into that.
We're leading into the big parak. Parak Yud Gimel
right. Is
the big, even really there are two big parak, Parak Aleph and Parak Yud Gimel. Parak Aleph was the Haftarah of Midbar. I hope it, what?
Parak Beis.
I hope it sounded familiar.
Yeah.
I hope it sounded familiar. This past Shabbos, when we learned by Mibah the Haftorah, we learned it. That's Perek Beis of Hosea, and then the big Perek that everyone that is that's probably more well known for is Shuva Yisrael, and that is Perek Yud Gimel.
Right.
Perek Yud Gimel is. It's not Shuva. It's not Shuva. How does it begin? Where does
that begin? Well, that's how it begins, but that's part of Shuva Yisrael Adar Hashem Elokecha. That's
a big part of it.
Right? That's it's Pasuk Beis.
Pasuk Yud Gimel.
It's Perek Yud Dal.
The very end. Shuva Yisrael. So this is where it's really famous for. Hosea is very well known for.
Makes sense with that.
We're coming over here right to this. That's how he's over, and he brings a proof to this. For the Radak brings a proof of this from another pasuk where we interchange the beis with the letter lamed, and he proves this from where we find Ranenu Tzadikim Bahashem. Right there means Lahashem. Okay, so this is then it goes into again Biat Befulchana de Lokach. Titakaf, you shall be strong. So he seems to say toshuv. It means it's a different translation. It means strength. Okay, I don't know where that comes from. You shall be strong. The other mefarsh toshuv means you shall live. You shall dwell. You shall live in a state of shuva vonachas. He seems to say the Targum word shuva toshuv means ti. Takaf. Titakaf means to be strong. To be strong, right? Takef.
Yeah.
And that's a very unique translation for the word soshuv. I'm not sure how it comes to that, but that's what it says. Okay, now before you go vital, let me just tell you, being that we went to Shavuos, so I heard just this very beautiful vart. It's related. It's a tshuva, and Shavuos, someone told me this vart. That is when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Shemaim to be mekabel the Torah, so the Malachim refused to let go of the Torah. They did not want to give the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So Moshe said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm afraid if I get any closer, they're going to burn me up. They're going to set me on fire. I don't remember the exact words of the Gemara, but the Gemara then says, Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, Hachzer Lohem Teshuva. Give them a response. Respond. Do not be afraid to engage the Malachim in debate. Hachzer Lohem Teshuva. And indeed, the Gemara goes on that Moshe says to the Malachim, do you have a Yetzer Hara? And then the final knockout punch was Basar B'cholav, Avraham Avinu served the Malachim, Basar B'cholav, and therefore you are in violation of the Torah, therefore you do not deserve the Torah. So the Darshanim say, and it goes hand in hand, is that when Hashem said to the Malachim, Hachzer Lohem Teshuvah, I'll give you the answer to their question. Respond to them with the concept of teshuva. Malachim do not have the concept of teshuva. They don't know what it is. Oh, I want to get that. That's the thing. They don't know what teshuva is. Therefore, they do not deserve the Torah, because the Torah was given, was created for people who can relate, who can delve in to the concept of teshuva.
Who have free choice.
So what do you, both people, what do you have told? Because malachim do not have free choice, so therefore it's not shaykh to them. That's what I used to think, until someone in this past Shavuos told me a much deeper interpretation. Whoever told you malachim do not have free choice? There is no such thing. The Rambam says it?
The Rambam says that malachim have b'shura.
Oh, they have free choice. So let's explain. There is no such thing as any creature, any creation of Hashem not having free choice. A Bria, a creation of Hashem, by definition, has free choice. And we see this in the name of the Torah with regard to the trees, the fruits. Eitz Oisa Peri. It's very fascinating is that Rosh Hashanah Shavuos, it is still Ishuchat, we can still talk about Shavuos, it's Ishuchat today, it's still Shaykh to Shavuos, the afterglow of Shavuos is still here. What is Shavuos? It's the Yoim Hadin Leperois Ho'ila. Who is the first creature to violate free will?
Eights.
Or to make a mistake? The Eitz. Hashem said to the trees, I want you to produce fruit. And it is my command that in the command is eight osapri. Eitz peri. When Hashem gave the command, Hashem's words were precise. I'm giving you a command that it should be eitz peri. Tam ha eitz ketam ha pri. There should be no distinction between the bark and the fruit. The tree itself should be edible. And the fruit and the tree was in violation. The tree had free will what to do. If the tree did not want to fulfill the command of Hashem, it had the prerogative. And it did take advantage, and it did not fulfill the will of Hashem. You'll argue, there are midrashim, that it did a l'shem shamayim. It was a chet l'shem shamayim. Okay, but we're not on such a high madrega. What? We're getting there. We're getting there. One moment. So now, you see clear that the eitz oseh peri, the tam eitz naketam apri. So you see clearly that even the bria, there was free will and there was indeed a violation. That is very significant for Shavuos, because Shavuos is called the Yoim HaBikurim. It's the day of the first fruits. On Shavuos is the Yoim Hadin for Bikurim, for fruit. Why fruit? Because the fruit, it was the violation. It is reminiscent of an act of rebellion, of where the fruit did not fulfill the directive of Hashem. Hashem says Eitz Peri, it was Eitz Oisa Peri. And why would that be specifically for Shavuos? Because Shavuos is the Zman of free will. When Hashem gave Klal Yisrael the Torah gives us the ability to have Shlita, it's the tool that we need to properly exercise free will. Now, what about Malachim? It's also very much related to Matan Torah. Malachim Malachim also have free will. What's the proof? The proof comes from when the Malachim went to rescue Lot. They went, so they said, Rashi says, Ki mashchisim anachnu. We are the ones who are going to destroy this city. That was a very grave error. They have no power to do anything. They are just puppets. They are just given instructions what to do. The fact that the Malach had the chutzpah to say Ki mashchisim anachnu was an expression of free will. Even though Hashem said, well, it's more than that. If anachnu means, it's a lie. It's not a lie. That's the point. It's not a lie. A Malach has its own koyach. But Hashem said to the Malach, I don't want you to exercise your koyach. I want you to exercise my koyach. Okay, the Malach was given two torches. Hashem gave the Malach a torch. Here's this torch. Take my torch and ignite stone. The Malach says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't need your torch. I have my own. I have my own fires. So I'll go on the mission. I'll go on the mission, but I'll do it myself. Send me on the mission, and I'll take my torch and I'll light them up. Especially when the Malach was abused. Why did the Malach say Ki mashchisim anachnu? Because until now, the Malach was sent on a mission by Hashem. Hashem says, "I want you to destroy Sodom." So the Malach says to Hashem, "What do they do? Why do you want to destroy these people? What do they do to you?" Don't worry, you'll go there, you'll see. You'll see what it's like. You'll see why I want to destroy them. The Malach goes, and sure enough, what are the Anshei? Bring these people out. We want to get to know them. The Malachim were abused. So the Malachim, they took it personally. They took it personally. So they said, Ribbono Shel Olam, we get it now. We get it. We understand why you sent us on this mission. We challenge you. Why would you want us to destroy a whole world? We now get it. And you know, we get it to such a degree, we get it. You know what, Hashem? I'll do it myself. Ki mashchisim anachnu. Now, the Malach is not a lie. That's one thing. The Malachim don't lie. And if they say, we're going to do it, they're going to do it. Anachnu. You created us, Hashem. You gave us power to do things. So we will use our own powers to destroy this Sodom. You know why? Because we take it personally. Because they have abused us. They have insulted us. So we'll do it. Hashem says, listen here, don't get carried away here. I know they abused you. That's right. They've abused you. But still, I didn't give you permission to take the law into your own hands. No vigilantes here. I don't want any angels who are vigilantes. I'm doing this, not you. I have a long history with these people here. And Nismala Hasa. So don't go use your own powers, superpowers. You're going to use the power that I have given you to destroy the city. But the Malachim have free will. They know Gebedavar. They know Negius. That is the ultimate, that's the ultimate culprit in this world. When you are no Gebedavar, they were insulted. They were abused. So therefore, they were no Gebedavar. Oh, so Hashem said, Ki mashchisim anachnu. Look at Rashi over there. So Hashem sent right away, dispatched. Hashem right away dispatched the message to these malachim. Hey, you're getting carried away here.
And that's how the next
don't do it. Oh, they were not, Rashi says, they were not permitted to do this until Vayishalcheinu Hashem. They had to say, that's right, we're not doing it. We're putting down our arms. We're putting down our weapons. It's going to be Hashem. We're just here as the Shluchid Rachmana. Now, they're not finished yet. So, did they do tshuva? The Malachim exercised their free will because they were Nogei Bedavar and they made a big mistake. They said something that was inappropriate. They did an Avera. Do we find the Malachim clapping davening mincha and clapping al cheit shechotasi lefanecha? No, we don't find it. And because we do not find them doing tshuva, so what happened? The mission was complete. They went back to Shemayim. And they were grounded. They were grounded for how many years? Rashi makes the count.
138.
He knows everything about it. Yeah. Until the Sulam. Yaakov Evin Vinei Malachi Elokim Oilim V'Yordim Boy. Who were the malachim? Rashi says this. Yeah, Rashi.
How would malachim go down and up?
What do you mean going down? Who were the malachim that were yardim? These were the same malachim that were sent on a mission back by Avram to destroy Sodom. And because they exercised their free will incorrectly, they did an avera, and they got too worked up. When they finished the mission, they were sent to Shemayim for rehabilitation. They were locked up 138 years in the correction facility Shalmaila. And now, after 138 years, okay, you've been rehabilitated. You can now come back down to this world on a new mission to guide, to protect Yaakov Avinu, Oilim Yordim, to guard Yaakov when he goes into Chutz Li'aretz. Question. Is in Shulchan Aruch, if you ever see a Talmud Chacham doing Avera by day, don't be mahar, don't suspect that he did the Avera, because Dilma, maybe by the next day, he did Teshuvah. The Gemara says, Dilma? Not Dilma, Vadai! Vadai also Teshuvah. You must say Shema? Says Shema? Don't say Shema. The Gemara goes to a shock of Atariya, Vadai, a Talmud Chacham by tomorrow morning has certainly done a teshuvah. Contrast the difference between a human being and an angel. An Adam does an Avera. Okay, Shev upon people, Tzadik, become. Everyone, in Tzadik, Ba'aretz, Shayasata, Velo Yechata. But the difference is, immediately, by tomorrow morning, he's already. Angels, one day, 138 years. Ashes. 138 years, they're still in rehabilitation. Why? Because they don't know what tshuva is. They don't have tshuva. If they do an avera, they have free will. Don't. They have emotion. They get worked up. They get worked up.
They're into the mission.
So. And they're in the mission. They were insulted. Who are these? Bring them out to us. We want to play with these people here. They got worked up. They exercised free will. No worse than Eitz Peri. Eitz Oseh Peri. They exercised free will. They made a big mistake. They did an avera. And guess what? There's no teshuvah. So let the malachim clap al chet with their wings. Right? They'll clap al chet with their wings. They'll bend. No. They don't know what teshuva is.
What?
Clap on what? On the chet. Oh, on what body part? What body part? So what happened? So they don't know what teshuva is. And that's why they had to suffer the term of their punishment for 138 years. Oh, so Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe says to them, Hashem, Hachzer lohem teshuvah. Tell the malachim, you do not know what teshuvah is. And that's why you're not entitled to the Torah. We need the Torah, because the Torah gives us the ability not just to control our Yetzirah, but in the event that we are nichshol with the Yetzirah, we exercise our free will incorrectly, we can do teshuvah for our averos.
That's why the Rambam explains the 10 levels of angels. The Yishim are the lowest, the ones who come down to earth to perform missions, and they're not in the sphere of influence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're far away. Their Bechira gets a chance to rear its ugly head. The ones who are, like he explains in a different mashal, that are sitting in the principal's office, they're not likely to do any averis. So they have Bechira, but they're unlikely to do the Ofanim, Bechayos HaKodesh, are not going to do anything wrong. They're sitting next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what are the chances they're going to do anything?
The opposite.
Well, that's what the Rambam said.
Okay, fine. I would argue the opposite.
Okay.
That the privates are following orders, and only the what is it, sixth on top have a chance to question that.
Okay, whatever. That's the Rambam explains his explanation of the Bechira.
Okay, so we get an appreciation over here. Okay, so by the pasuk Yata Belakecha Sashuf. We definitely get an appreciation. I'm not sure the Malbim will finish up for today. The Malbim, we get an appreciation of tshuva. Pasuk Zayin in the Malbim, Zviat Elokecha Soshuv, Hatanai Shetoshuv El Madregoscha, who Aide Elokecha, Loke Yisrael, Loyade Malach, Vze Aide Shetish, Mor Chesed, Mishpur, Lachin Kavi, Lokecha, Tamid Loy El Malach Vassar. So the Malm also learns that it means Tishuvah. And the Chazal, Pasuk Zayin, on page 179, the very, very bottom, Lukude Shas, and Midosha, Hatanoim, Viat Elokecha Soshuv, Rabinos Neimer, Bebeis Elokov, Hareze Koidesh. It says the word Elokov that we had back on Perek Test. The word Elokov means it means Hashem. V'ata be'elokecha soshuv harezeh kodeh. I don't know, I'm not sure of the significance, but it refers also to Hashem. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll begin passing Ches. What?
Yesterday was the yard site of Shavuos.
Yesterday, and second day Shavuos?
Yep.
Zayin Sivan?
Not the second day Shavuos.
No, first issue is
not for him.
First,
what is a date or is it Shavuos?
My granddaughter had a little boy this morning.
Mazel tov! Oh, this morning! Wow! Mazel tov! Mazel tov! Mazel tov!
Head off the press.
Mazel tov! Mazel tov! Mazel tov!
I'm not convinced.